You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Norton, and today I'm speaking with Dustin Brewer and Frank Downs. Dustin is Isaka's principal futurist, and Frank is Senior Director of Cybersecurity Advisory and Assessment Solutions at Isaka. In this episode of the podcast, we're exploring all things blockchain. Can you start us off by giving a basic definition of blockchain?
It's everybody's favorite buzzword, but what does it mean?
I don't know, Dustin.
So let's talk a little bit about blockchain. Just a quick introduction to the actual technology itself. What we're basically talking about, and this is going to be incredibly oversimplified, and to any blockchain experts out there who are listening, I apologize in advance. You're going to hear me say this and you're going to be like, oh, and you're going to roll your eyes and say, Dustin, he doesn't understand how technical it can get and how in depth it can really get. But
that's always what I say after you talk. I'm like, this guy.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what I talk about. I talk about ice cream and Frank gets mad at me.
Forget the fact I call him for like half of these things. I'm like, will this make a problem? Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. So what we're basically trying to do with blockchain is let's break it down to super simplistic cybersecurity talk here and talk about the CIA triad, right? We have the CIA triad, which is confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Blockchain is trying to help solve the integrity issue specifically, or I guess more widely when it comes to a zero trust or no trust network. So how do you have integrity for something that's decentralized and doesn't have a centralized authority that's going to tell you whether something is correct or not? So blockchain, the best way to think about it, and again, this is where I'm going to get the eye rolls, is it's a database. It is. It's a decentralized database that not only stores information, but also creates hashes on that information that protects the integrity of it. Not only that, but it puts that hash into the next entry into the database. So that's where the chaining comes in, right? So we talk about blocks, and a block is just basically a block of data. It can be anything. It can be the most common example that everybody uses is a ledger, right? A ledger of financial transactions. So it could be that. It could be Frank Downs's Facebook profile. Any kind of data you can think of can go inside of a blockchain. Now, once you create a block, then you hash that block, then you put that hash into the next block, and then you add data to that and then hash that block. So basically, as you go down and you create this chain of data, you're creating a immutable database that if it's ever altered in any way, it kind of automatically has that automatic audit kind of built into it where it says, oh, nope, something changed here and this data isn't right. And we need to go back and figure out where this happened. So very, very basic explanation of what blockchain is. This idea has actually been around for a really long time. We can kind of trace it back to almost the 90s, where there were a few papers written on timestamping and creating hashes and then incorporating that into the next set of records. Of course, what really got blockchain going and what really got it to be big was, of course, Satoshi Nakamoto's paper from 2008, where he talked about Bitcoin and what Bitcoin could be and how you could basically have a decentralized currency or a decentralized ledger with a currency attached to it. And ever since 2008, it's really blown up. And there's been a lot of different types of implementations. We've seen it in the medical field. We've seen it implemented in supply chain. There's a lot of different test cases out there. Deloitte recently did, I don't want to call it the state of blockchain, but it's something along those lines where, and let me pull up the actual numbers here. So this is Deloitte's 2019 Global Blockchain Survey. And in the 2019 Global Blockchain Survey, 53% of respondents say that blockchain technology has become a critical priority for their organizations in 2019. That's up 10% from the previous year. So from 2018, it's gone up 10 points. That's huge. And this is something that we see with emerging technologies, Frank. We see kind of a slow adoption at first, and then all of a sudden, once this becomes something that's lucrative and can actually help business. So we saw this with cloud, for example. Cloud went through many names before it eventually got coined cloud, right? And lots of companies were kind of implementing like some form of off-prem architecture to either house, you know, for disaster recovery or emergency response or just off-prem backup. But then we really saw things start to pick up. And now we're up to, we're over 90% enterprise adoption rate for cloud. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with blockchain. We don't know, right? Blockchain isn't a cure-all for everything. It can be used in some really great examples, such as the medical field and supply chain. And when it comes to digital ledger technology or distributed ledger technology, it solves some issues there. So we don't know where this is going, but we do know that people are starting to pay attention to it more seriously.
I think your example is perfect with the cloud, right? Because the cloud was there. And everyone was like, oh, this is important. Oh, yeah. Like they call them, you know, distributed information, distributed backups and so forth like that. And you know, making sure that you had data off-prem and multiple locations and it wasn't just one site and so forth. And then that was it was there. And then, boom, it was the cloud. And all of a sudden, I think that you saw the greater adoption once consumers directly got involved with it, right? And then all of a sudden, you saw this explosion of cloud, right? Everyone realized, I'm sure I'll get sniped for this, and that's fine. It's not just the consumers that matters, Frank. But it is once you saw, like, what, around 2010, maybe as early as 2008, really for cloud to start picking up steam a lot more, I'd say exponentially compared to everything else. People got tired of emailing themselves documents to have them have access to them later. And then over time, they realized that, you know, even with Chromebooks, they don't even need hard drives and so forth. I don't even keep my, I don't know about you, Dustin, maybe you do, but I don't even keep my photos at home anymore. Like, I don't have a drive with all my important photos and documents and all that. No, why? Because I'd always break them or lose them or accidentally format them because I was trying to do something cool with that same drive. And you saw the increase there. And I think the same thing is with blockchain. And I'd almost go further than the way you put it, right? You said, oh, I don't think I'm not sure it's going to have that universal adoption, but I think it'll have, you know, definitely things in medical. So I'd say, why not? I mean, because this is going to, oh man, I will pretend to be futurist, Dustin.
go right ahead.
I mean, when you can,
that's my crown to you.
When you have the ability to do non-repudiation so easily, why not? I think you're going to see it on a lot of different things. I think it's going to be not just with industry and business and so forth, but I think you're going to start seeing it in the little things. So I'll give a couple examples. Yes, you can see it in healthcare with health insurance records. You can even do blockchain stuff with physical stuff, right? To monitor the actual serial numbers of physical things and so forth to track those to an extent. So then why not do it with everything else? What was it a few years ago? They're like, there's going to be RFID on everything, right? Now, in certain parts of the world, there really are RFIDs in a lot of different things and so forth. But it's not on everything because the barcode still works. But if we're not talking about a physical application of something here, right? We're talking about a digital association. So why not then with every barcode, there's a hash that goes with it and it adds to the chain and everything adds to the chain and you have this non-repudiation element. I don't see a reason not to do that. And, you know, maybe it's an exciting thought for all of our members, right? Because especially with ISACA being, you know, International Auditors Association, that's like almost like an auditor's dream. Well, I would assume it would be some auditor's dream. I'm sure there's an auditor out there, again, who's like, no way, Frank, not at all. And that's fine. Okay. But if I have to keep track of everything, and what's going to help me make sure that everything hasn't been messed with, right? What's the best thing that I can use to help identify, at least on a large scale, how things have not been compromised? I'd go with blockchain. I'd apply blockchain to everything, right? I mean, even to the things that don't matter. When you're playing songs on your phone, why not have a hash for that, right? Now, we're talking about a lot of computing power, and that would be a lot. But Dustin told me again the other day, the principal futurist here at ISACA, that once we have quantum, the world, you know, and the sky's the limit, right, bud?
The big thing there, Frank, is once we have it.
Once we have quantum. Yeah, you know,
you're
I'm just going to
far away.
Get my zero Kelvin fridge in the garage and then go from there, right?
Yeah.
And you know, once everyone has that in their garage, which I'm sure that's, you know, only a few years out, I think you're going to see it in a wide range of applications down to the consumer level, because it's going to be this whole, why don't we do this? Man, right. It's going to make lawyers real happy, that's for sure.
So, and that's, you bring up an interesting subject, you actually brought up a few interesting subjects, but one of the things you said in there that really kind of resonated with me just now is you said, you know, there's going to be that one auditor who's going to be like, I don't like this. I remember I was really excited. I got to sit down with a data scientist one time when I was at the ISO 27000 conference in Paris. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before that. Honestly,
time has lost all meaning, Dustin.
I'm pretty sure it was last year. But I was really excited. I got to sit down with him. We were having dinner and I was like, hey, let's talk about blockchain. And he rolled his eyes and he was just so against it. He's like, blockchain is just a buzzword and we've had databases that have already done this for years. And no doubt. But Frank, what do you think that, I don't know how to put it. I don't want to say resistance to the technology. And it is a very simple idea, right? It's a very simple concept that we're talking about when we talk about blockchain. Now it gets vastly more complicated as you get more complicated systems. Once you get smart contracts and all these other, you know, bells and whistles that kind of get added into a blockchain. But what do you think it is about newer technologies such as blockchain that kind of get, you know, at first it's just this eye roll and it's like, yeah, well, you know, we'll see if that takes off or not. Go ahead.
I think it's an example of like, I'm very whelmed with this technology, right? I mean, because especially when you do some comparative analysis with what came with it, you've got this, look, guys, wow, we're going to have a ledger and this ledger is going to be decentralized so that no one can lie on this ledger, right? So then we can always know what the truth is. And that ledger will help us make sure everything's accurate and to make sure things aren't messed up, right? And what did you have come along with this at the same time? Cryptocurrency. And my goodness, what gets the blood flowing more than wildly speculative, crazy, made up money, right? And people are like, I'm gonna be a millionaire tomorrow. More crypto. So like they're taking, and this is just one person's two cents, they're taking this emotion associated with cryptocurrency, right? And they're applying it to the underlying technology, which is blockchain, right? And the technology itself, blockchain, is amazing. It's whelmingly amazing, right? I mean, it's not like, yeah, we're shooting lasers on the moon and all this stuff. Yeah, I can talk to my aunt in under a second across the world, like with other things in information technology, right? It's not really enabling better experiences. It's just enabling more integral experience. It's making sure those experiences are documented really well and that documentation doesn't change, right? It's not giving you a new way in this instance, right, to write a document or exchange information. It's just giving you a way to make sure that that written document and that information when exchanged is not compromised, right? And that's why, and you know, then you get into the whole different part of then do leak into cryptocurrency and you can see the application there. Like imagine if the blockchain was just applied to regular money. Whoa, look out, right? Now that would be cool. Dude, that would be really cool if we just applied the blockchain to real money. Then you're talking about you can trace all transactions all the time, everywhere and so forth. That'd be amazing. Patent pending, Frank Downs.
And you see there actually are countries that are kind of starting to work with that a little bit. We see a little bit coming out of China. They're starting to work with cryptocurrency, you know, their own cryptocurrency. So we are seeing this not only mass adoption. The only thing, and again, you brought up Bitcoin. Actually, I'm sorry. I guess I brought up Bitcoin at the very beginning of this whole thing.
It's your fault.
It is my fault. And you can't really talk about the success of blockchain without bringing up cryptocurrency, regardless of whether you think that it's going to go down to zero someday or whether it's going to go up to $100,000 per Bitcoin, whatever you speculate. There's no way to deny that Bitcoin is what brought cryptocurrency into the limelight. I'm sorry, Bitcoin is what brought blockchain into the limelight. See, I just did it. I just mixed up cryptocurrency and blockchain.
I'd also say, though, you were right with your first statement that Bitcoin did bring cryptocurrency into the limelight, too. I mean, no matter how you want to cut it, the statement was right. But I see what you mean there.
So let's talk just very briefly about Bitcoin and about other cryptocurrencies. So Bitcoin, I'm not quite sure what it's trading at today. It doesn't matter because it'll be different tomorrow. Let's say it's $12,000, and that's probably somewhere around where it's at right now. Frank and I have been following Bitcoin for a very long time. And of course, we were amongst the very responsible people who, when it was at $10 per coin, we were like, nah, there's no way this is going to go higher. When it was at $100 per coin, we didn't do anything about it. When it was at $600 a coin, we didn't do anything about it. When it was at $1,000 a coin, we didn't do anything about it. And again, now it's at just about 12,000. Again, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the last time I looked at it, Frank, it was at 12,000 or somewhere near there.
Yeah, I've got it right here. Why not? I'll just tell you real quick.
Yeah.
We currently is at, you're close enough, 11.6. So okay. 11.7.
11.6. So, you know, when does that stop? When do we need to stop and say, okay, 11.6, it's not going to go any higher?
When will we be right, Dustin?
Right. When will we be right? I know here's the Isaka's principal futurist telling you that I'm not right about the future. when it comes to Bitcoin's price, I am not correct. So this is something we can no longer ignore, right? When something is valued at this, we can no longer ignore it. Now you can say, what are we really talking about here? You know, are we really talking about a collection of ones and zeros, an intangible object, a digital asset that's worth close to $12,000? And yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And what makes it worth the money? The fact that people are willing to exchange it for goods and services. Right? Basic economics, right? And here we are talking about it. So with of course, Bitcoin, there have been what basically everything else is called an altcoin, right? Or an alternative cryptocurrency. So you've got your Dogecoin, you've got your XRP, you've got your Litecoin, you've got your Ethereum. Monero is a big one right now. They've actually been hosting the DEF CON cryptocurrency village at DEF CON for the past couple of years. Their main priority is anonymity and decentralized currency. That's the two main topics that I think that we, you know, that those particular cryptocurrencies are really trying to hit on. Yeah. Of course, the interesting thing about Bitcoin is you can go on the ledger right now. There's APIs all over the place that you can go on, websites with front ends, not just APIs. You can actually go on a nice website with a front end, and you can look up the current transactions that are happening between two parties. So how is that anonymous? Well, you know, there's obviously tricks of the trade that they can use to track those things. With cryptocurrencies such as Monero, privacy is definitely a big aspect of that. And again, we see cryptocurrency being used on the dark web. We see it being used for nefarious purposes. Any more so than we see any fiat currency? I don't know. I don't have those numbers in front of me. I'm going to guess no.
I'm going to go with no as well.
Yeah, fiat currency still wins, I think, when it comes to the percentage that's being used for clandestine or nefarious services. But again, that's all speculation. So, you know, we've had this huge revolution within cryptocurrency. And again, that's kind of what brought blockchain to light for a lot of other reasons, or at least made people start to take it seriously. Whether or not it was taken seriously before, or whether or not it was actually utilized in innovation to create new technologies or to create better technologies, we're not sure. But the price of Bitcoin and the price of cryptocurrencies, you can't ignore the influence that that's had on the actual underlying technology itself, which is blockchain. So it's this really interesting relationship that blockchain and cryptocurrency has. But again, you can most certainly have a blockchain without cryptocurrency. You can't say the same thing about cryptocurrency. You have to have a blockchain to have a cryptocurrency, but you have to have a blockchain to have a cryptocurrency. You don't need cryptocurrency to have a blockchain.
Yeah.
So the underlying technology, again, is something that's there. It's something that can be utilized. And we see it happening. We see it being implemented and tested more and more every day. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see it.
So last year, there was an article posted onto the Isaka Now blog that talked about how blockchain can be useful, particularly for the travel and hospitality industries, for its digital payment capabilities and just generally high level of security. Are there any other consumer-facing sectors that you think could benefit from blockchain?
Oh, yeah. I personally think if you're going to be exchanging any kind of currency, if you can apply a blockchain just to that, it's going to create again, this gets back to the non-repudiation element, right? If you're able to then apply a hash to every single exchange, it makes sense. And we're not talking about cryptocurrency here. We're just talking about blockchain, right? It is such an invaluable key, especially for something like record keeping. I can't think of a better tool right now off the top of my head that would help with the integrity of record keeping. It's something that ensures that you're going to, you know, that it's just going to keep a universal documentation of it. Now, as far as payment goes, like as in blockchain revolutionizing, yes, for recording that payment occurring that way. I don't know. What do you think, Dustin?
You know, we've had with international payments going back and forth between countries and everything, we've really only had one major system that does that, and that's the SWIFT payment system, right? So with blockchain, we've seen this revolution in borderless transactions, which, by the way, scares the heck out of anybody who's in governance, scares the heck out of governments, right? Because, well, you know, there's this free exchange of assets or cash or however you want to think about it happening without any kind of government regulation. The big thing about it is that it's fast. It's much faster than SWIFT. It's cheaper, right? You don't have, there's no centralized party. So therefore you don't need someone to tell you that, yeah, okay, this is right, and yep, we've confirmed their money, now we're confirming the transfer in a year. Yep. No, it's all done decentralized with the nodes on the network. So it's quicker, depending on which network you're using. Bitcoin is kind of slowing down a little bit as we're starting to mine the mining pools are getting shallower, if you will. But it's still faster. It's still faster, and because there's less middlemen, I think would be the best way to put it. It makes everything faster. So when we talk, I think that might be why travel was mentioned, because when we talk about international payment systems, blockchain is really helping to revolutionize that by making it quicker, by making it more stable. You know, we talk about you've mentioned non-repudiation a few times, and immutability as well. We can't, you know, nobody can go back and change those records. So now we know what's going to happen. Now that all of these things, of course, have their risks involved. There are risks involved with implementing this technology into a system, but that's just, you know, with any emerging technology, that's kind of what happens, right? Your risks don't necessarily get worse or better. They just change, right? When it comes to cloud, it's not like things got better or worse. They just changed. They changed a lot. And in that, okay, maybe things got a little bit worse for a little bit, you know, as we were all trying to catch up and trying to make sure that everything was secure once again. And I kind of foresee that happening with blockchain as well.
All right. Well, it looks like we are approaching our time here. Is there anything else that either of you would like to add?
I couldn't agree more with Dustin on that. I mean, nothing against international wires and everything, but if as soon as I can get away from that $20 fee every time I need to send a wire, that'd be great.
Who are you sending wires to across the...
hey, it's my own business, Dustin, all right?
Fair enough. No, but it is... Regardless of how you feel about this technology, it's like any other emerging technology, right? You're going to have the naysayers up front. And I'm not saying that blockchain is going to be the end all be all for integrity of systems, self-auditing, digital ledgers, distributed ledgers, but it's definitely playing a part. And much like cloud computing has kind of come along, and there's a group of people who would consider cloud computing not to be an emerging technology anymore. They'd say, well, it's emerged. You know, it's got 90% adoption rate. However, it has enabled all of these new innovations. It's enabled IoT. It's enabled artificial intelligence. It's enabled blockchain. It's enabled all of these emerging technologies to continue. And I've said this a few times in some articles where it's like what we've basically done, what cloud is basically doing is it's still evolving. We haven't seen the end of cloud yet. We most certainly haven't seen the end of blockchain yet. So it's one of those things that we definitely want to keep an eye on as practitioners, as auditors, as chief level executives. We want to make sure that we're paying attention to this technology so we don't miss out.
Thanks, Dustin. That's all we have time for on this episode of the ISACA podcast. To make sure you never miss an episode of Frank and Dustin's Cyber Pros Exchange series, subscribe to the podcast today.